As we continue with the gathering, we only have a short time left before we go and get some nice coffee together. We wanted to wrap this Go Again series up together. I don't know if you've enjoyed this last series of Go Again. Come on, put your hands together for Dave and the team, our senior leader and the team that have put that together. It's been so special, and it's led us all the way from start of January all the way until February. Can you believe it's March soon? That's unbelievable, isn't it? Can't believe it's March. It'll be December soon, and then I'll get up later in the year and be like, can't believe it's December. It says that a lot, doesn't it? You can't believe he's a man of faith. So today we want to wrap it up, and we thought, instead of me babbling on for, 89 hours, thank goodness, why don't we get some experts on the stage who actually know what they're talking about? So we have not just one, but we have four special guests for you today. So I want you to make some noise for our special guest today. Come on, give it up. Nice to see you guys. I loved watching Johnny sing before, but he was just a floating head because his top was so camouflaged. I was like, wow, this is great CGI. Hello, guys.
Hello.
Why don't you introduce yourselves? Go down. We'll start with Talia. Talia, what's your name? And then we'll go down this way so everyone knows who you are.
I'm Talia.
I'm Rachel.
I'm Johnny.
I'm Fred.
You're definitely not Fred. Who are you today, David?
David today.
Oh, there we go. Okay. We have these guys. These guys are so great. They're a part of our church community. And I don't know if you know if there's any friends in the audience, but you'll know how great they are. And not just how committed they are, but how much they have journeyed authentically with God. And so I know what they're going to bring, so I'm teeing them up big time. But let's begin. Let's dive into it. So there's one question for everybody. And so it's the same, and then I'm going to kind of ask you the question later on, but let's start with you, John. What is it that you took away from the Go Again series?
I feel really on the spot now. I think the key thing that I took away, and it was from a bit earlier in the series, was a point that Dave made about suitability being the killer of destiny.
That's right, yeah.
So unpacking that a little bit for those of you who maybe weren't here. Dave used an example from the Bible, from the book of Numbers, which is where the Israelites, they've left Egypt, they're still sort of finding their feet, and they've found like an area in their travels that seems suitable for growing crops and stuff like that. And basically they're going, should we just stay here? This is fine, growing stuff, housing and stuff like that. But the point was that was just a checkpoint that they were meant to get to before they entered a promised land, a land that God had given them. But in between this place and the next place was a difficult obstacle. It was a river, really difficult to cross, especially with the millions of people that they needed to get across, right? Let's think logistically. How do you migrate millions of people across a river? It's not easy, especially if you've not got, like, Facebook or anything. You can't start a Facebook group to navigate them across.
Build a bridge.
But rather than just settle for where felt suitable, God was saying, There's something much bigger for you that I've got across a horizon that I've called your land, and it's if someone offers you something incredible, if someone offers you like a brand new car and you go, I'm all right with my Shishento, it's falling apart. it's just because Michaela used to have a Shishento and it's the worst car she had. If you're thinking of getting a Shishento, don't. Sorry, Fiat. Don't sue me. But it's there for the taking, but it requires us to encounter some obstacles sometimes. And with Becky's testimony today, can we give it up for Becky one more time? Such an incredible testimony. But it was filled with obstacles. It was filled with some difficult stuff. And we sang a song this morning about another in the fire, God walking with us through that. And that's the making of us. That's how we get from what feels suitable and what feels okay to a land of abundance, the land of abundance that God has already said is ours. So in a nutshell.
Nice, excellent, John. And I think that's really how this all started, with Dave asking your leader a question and saying, where is God taking us to? If you look at your life as it is now, what's the postcode of your life? What is it? And the fact that God needs to bring us back to something that we may have thought about, captured, he put in our hearts years ago, and saying it's time to go again. Like, it's not time to stay. But you said something about better the devil you know. And I thought it was a brilliant point. Can you just elaborate on that phrase?
So one thing when I was discussing with Ben the kind of things I wanted to share is taken from the example of the Israelites who've left Egypt. Now, bear in mind that they were in slavery. Many of them died. Many of them starved or overworked. But when they left Egypt, the first thing that they did, as soon as they found that the wilderness wasn't all it was made out to be, was that, oh, should we just go back to Egypt? which boggles the mind, but I think, you know, we live in an age where there's a phrase that gets used a lot that's better the devil you know. And I think that's a lie that the enemy tells us to stop us going across the horizon and taking the land that he's called us for us, because it feels like, I don't know what's over there. It could be worse than what's over here. And sometimes what we have to go through might be worse. But we serve a God who has great things planned for us, not just good things. And sometimes being in something that feels good can be like one of the worst things for us, because it makes us stop moving forward. It makes us want to settle. And that's actually a bigger battle sometimes than going through hell itself. You know, at least with that, you're going to the other side of that.
Excellent, John. Excellent. Oh, that's great. Let me just thank John. That's great stuff. Need to remember this. I love that thought. And I'm going to bring Talia in now. Talia, you've gone it's quite specific, actually, what you walked away with. Okay, just tell the guys kind of where your mind's been in this.
Hi, everyone.
Hi.
So a couple months ago, I really felt like God was telling me to go somewhere new. And that was a really big place, and it's America. To go and basically lead people and love them and show who Jesus is. And, oh my gosh, I was absolutely terrified. So people started telling me, oh, you should listen to Dave's talk. I ain't gonna lie. I was like to people to the face, oh, yeah, I'll do it. I was in kids' church serving that week, and then I got home and I was like, I ain't ready for that challenge. Not doing it. But I listened to it, and it was on about the things that stops us most is fear and familiarity. And for me, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to go on a plane to America for 5 months, and I have to leave my home, and that is a massive part of my life. I have to leave the people I love, and I have to live free, and that was huge. And I was like, I don't want to leave, because I know I want to do stuff there, and I don't want to leave TCC. I want to stay. But when I heard Dave sharing, and it was like, the biggest things that stops us is the fear, and what we're used to. Like, there's always going to be something in our lives that we're used to, and we know that we're good at it, and we know we can carry on doing it. But I just felt like God was saying, yeah, you're used to it, and I brought you there for a purpose, but that purpose, someone else is going to step into that, and they're going to grow, and you're going to go somewhere else and step into that and grow somewhere bigger and grow other people. And that's what really stuck out for me.
Yeah, I love that, I tell you, because what you're saying is this, is that when we face our fears, it's not just our release, but it's other people's release. Like, actually, we're here in this position doing this thing, and if God can move us across the river, it creates more space for others to come. I love that thought. That's great. And you live free as need to know that, all right? You've got some big shoes to fill.
We were saying, Ben, weren't we, like, fear. This is the most simple thing, but there's only one way to deal with fear in your life. There is no other way.
Just ignore it. Yeah.
There is no plan B. Plan A is to face it.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And I can guarantee that when you face your fear, it'll evaporate before you.
Yeah.
Something bigger might come along for you to be scared of, but but that's what you've got to do. Yeah. So.
Yeah, I mean, I'm still scared to go. Right? I'm not going to lie, I'm still scared. But I know that faith is bigger than fear.
Yeah,
and that when I go, that fear will be the thing that keeps me going and carries going because there's faith there.
Yeah, brilliant. I love that, Talia. That's great. We have a video clip, and it's something from one of Dave's weeks that he did. So pin your eyes to the screen because I really feel like it encapsulates what John and Natalie have said. So pin your eyes to the screen.
Some of us are going through life with a jar hanging off our hand. Some of us, we think we get the answer to our life and we think, God, thank you for all that you've done for me. Thank you for the day that I said yes to you. But do you know what? I've grown up a bit and I've found an answer in this lifestyle that I have. And God, leave me here. I'm okay. I don't want to go across any river. Why are you speaking to me about crossing the river? I'm okay on the east side of Jordan. When we're living like that, it's really hard to let go. Because we found something that we believe is the answer. When we get the answer, God's way goes by the wayside. When you release, it's only when you let go of that thing that you think is the answer that you can find some freedom. Because we get trapped in the answer.
That was a great point. So the reason why the jar was there is there's an old proverb that Dave was sharing that in order to trap a certain type of monkey in a certain type of jungle, they used to have a jar with a bunch of nuts in, and the monkey would put their hand in the jar, grab hold of those nuts, but they couldn't pull the hand out, and they were trapped and stuck. And time and time again, they've done this experiment where the monkey would not let go of the nuts to walk away for freedom. And that is essentially a little bit what you guys are saying, that sometimes we feel like we've got an answer. Sometimes we want the suitability. Sometimes we want the familiar. But that's actually the very thing that traps us. What we need to do is let go so we can walk away into something bigger. Yeah, great points, guys. Okay, I wonder if I could bring Rach in. Rach, why don't you share your thoughts on what you took away from this last series?
Yeah, so part of the Go Again series, Dave shared about the story of the Israelites being lost in the wilderness. We've talked about it a little bit. And there was a point where he brought them back to the river that they'd been at before, 40 years prior to. They've gone back to this river. And so Dave made this point about sometimes God brings us back. He says we've got to come back to go again. And so for me, that was such a significant thing. And Johnny, I know we've not planned this, but please, can you do a demo for me if I tell you what to do?
Of course he will.
Or Ben or Johnny?
Me and so, John, we'll both do it.
Shoot at me.
Yeah, go on then.
I don't know who was around the week that Dave got this bow and arrow out. Give me a wave if you were here. Okay, so I'm just going to explain to you what happened. Ben, Johnny, one of you?
Yeah, so.
Ben can do it. Okay, so.
Dave wants to do it.
Dave wants to do it, right? Okay. As long as one of you does it, I don't mind who does it, okay? So the explanation and this picture that was given, I think Siobhan Taylor, who's part of the team here, had originally shared at Lyft. How many men does it take to pull a bow and arrow? Who knows? So you can fire it, Dave. Fire away. Fantastic. Okay. So the picture, yes, well done. The picture that
another
Dave...
Another one. Oh,
that
my God.
Dave, oh, my goodness. Let me get my words out. Okay.
Yeah.
The picture that Dave shared on a Sunday was of a bow and arrow. And, you know, if you're going to pull an arrow back, you have to draw it back, don't you, to release it, to get momentum to send it forwards. And so the thought being that sometimes God brings us back to a place so that he can propel us forward to go again. And the big challenge for me around that was I felt God was really bringing me back to having my first love. Now, I've only had one true love in my life, and he's now my husband. He's called Dan Calland. He's sat over there.
Amazing. But let's give it up for Dan Calland, everybody. Go ahead, just.
We love you, Dan. I will tell you what I'm going to say eventually. So, but at the end of the Bible, there's a book called Revelation, and the writer says this to a letter that he writes to the church at the beginning. He says, you've been patient, you've persevered, you've done all these amazing things, and he starts to list this litany of things that this church has done, but then he says, one thing I've got against you, though, you've forgotten your first love.
Wow.
And he was speaking about Jesus. And, you know, I don't think I'd forgotten my first love, but I think I'd become, to some extent, more obsessed with the created things than the creator himself. Wow. And, you know, I love Jesus' church. I love his people. I love my family. I love good things. They're all good things. When God created the earth, he said these things were good. And when he created people, he said they were very good.
Yeah.
But, you know, when we lose our first love, and if you're a person of faith in here, you maybe understand more what I'm talking about. God wants to bring us back so we can go again. Because you know, when we try and go again with anything else that's not the Creator, yeah, it's always a lesser that's version right. of what He would that's have. Right. And so I love my husband, I love my kids, but you know, for me, even still, it's Jesus first.
Yeah,
and that has been the challenge to me from Dave's talk, is that I've had to come back to my first love. And you know, I can't reduce that down to, well, I just read the Bible more, I just pray more. Yeah. You know, we sometimes talk about Jesus being a part of our lives. You know,
yeah,
Jesus
right.
is life. Jesus is my life. He's the reason I breathe, and I say that with all sincerity. Sometimes we wait for a time where we're going through a difficult period to really understand who God is and be with Him. You know, we can't just put forward a set of spiritual disciplines and expect to have this incredible relationship with God. It includes those things. Yes, I love God's word. Yes, I love talking to Him. I love being with Him. But, you know, I can't put a prescribed thing out for this. There's, when we make a decision to follow Jesus, we follow Him with our whole heart. And when we do that, it is a relationship. It's not just a set of disciplines. And so the challenge to me was really to come back to that, to still love His church, to still be on mission, but to do it from that place and to be released from that place.
Yeah. That's great, Rachel. Which, that in itself is the goal, to come back. Often we can be guilty, just to reflect and agree with your point, really, that, you know, often we can come to God with a shopping list or whatever and say, I'm going to scratch your back, God, and then you'll scratch mine. But actually what I take away from what you're saying is that is the goal itself, to come back is what it's all about. And as a result, that propulsion happens, that growth, that change, that transformation happens, but not without the Jesus, you're the first and you're the last, you're everything. That's great.
Sorry, can I just add on to that? I think the truth is that we, as people of faith, as many of you in here are, and I know some of you may not be, I think we try and go about God's mission without that very often. And so we wonder why we feel tired, why we're not seeing breakthrough. And I think Jesus is like, do you know what? The Bible talks about Jesus and God as being a jealous God. It's like, it's a bit of a strange thing to say. But you know, God, He longs for your affection. He longs to be with you, to hear your voice, to do life with you. And you know, from that place, He's given you a purpose. He's given you a mission that you live in every day. And it's from that place that we live in that fullness.
I just want to pull Dave in after what you're saying, Rach, just about what it is that you took away from this last sort of 8 weeks on Go Again.
Well, to be honest, I've forgotten it all now because I totally agree with Rachel.
Do you want me to remind you? Because I wrote it down when you said it.
Because it's actually about the order of things, isn't it? So the order in our life should be Jesus first. You know, I've got lots of stuff going on in my life. If you had a couple of hours, I could start talking about it. But the fact is, in my life, Jesus is the number one thing. You know, every single day, every single hour, really, I'll think about Jesus. And I've known Him now since I think it's about 27 years this year. And I can tell you that this year is my best year with Jesus. I honestly, and it is about love. It's about just a person who's always there, you know, rain or shine. In fact, when it's really horrible, then you get to know Him better. Yeah. That's the reality. And a couple of years ago, I had a really crap time, to be honest. It was a real difficulty in business. And He came through for me and held me up at a moment when, I'm not a person who suffers with anxiety. It's just kind of not, it's just not been my life. But for the first time ever, I felt myself go to that place. I remember getting a text on my phone and my hand was shaking and I couldn't read it. And I'm like, this isn't me. There's a voice in my head. What's going on? And literally I was thinking, I'm going to have to wait here until it stopped. But the truth is, Jesus is everything. And you know, you might not know Him yet, or you might have just met Him, but I can tell you that it's the best thing ever.
That's all right, yeah.
You know, and my, you know, 2020 for me is I'm really excited about it because, I'm excited about what God's going to do, and I've got loads of ideas, loads of plans, loads of objectives, loads of goals in different parts of my life, my family, my church especially, business, all of that. But the one thing that I'm focused on is knowing him first. And me and a bunch of guys, friends, we in January, we read the whole Bible in 30 days. There was this challenge.
Wow.
And it was about 40 chapters a day. They called it a shred. So it's a spiritual shred. And I remember the first couple of days, and it was like getting up early and like thinking, this is weird, you know, this is hard. And then it became the best thing ever. And it reminds me of what Jane said, yeah, stop going on about the fact it's the best thing ever. but it really was. But look, to answer the question about what does go again mean? So go again for me is all about the TCC. And in terms of, for me and Jane, going again in terms of our commitment to be part of building what God's doing here. You know, that is, and actually it happened for Jane back in October and happened for me in November. You know, I'm friends with Dave, and he was sharing some of the stuff he was going through last year. And if you remember, he talked about, did that talk, Confessions of a Senior Leader, and it completely got to Jane and me. And we made it, you know, we've been here for about 15 years, and we've been on the journey, and it was 10 years ago we started with the idea of creating this incredible building facility. And as many of you know, it took 8 years, and I've got to say, it was one of the toughest things I've been involved with in terms of the challenge of it, the challenge of the faith of it. And we moved in 2 years ago, probably a bit more now, isn't it?
Yeah, two and a bit, yeah.
Yeah. And what I've realized is there was a faith required from all of us who were part of that to build this. But then there's a new level of faith required in terms of what God wants to do in terms of building the church, building the people. Because the reason we created this facility was for hundreds and thousands of people who live in this area and beyond. And last year, you know, I was taking I take responsibility for stuff, and I was taking responsibility for what's going on in terms of building the church, building the house. And I was just wrestling with it in terms of faith. You know, I was saying, is it going to happen? You know, are we good enough? Can we do it? Are the people up to it? Am I up to it? And it was a real battle, actually. But I was really struggling, saying, you know, it's too hard, and is it really going to happen? I remember it was about last Easter, maybe April time. I remember God said, and I was getting really frustrated, you know, because, you know, with it. And I remember God basically saying to me, next year I'm going to bless the church like you've never seen before. And next year, I'm bringing a wave of blessing on the church.
That's great.
And I was like, oh, I think I want to leave. I think I've had enough, you know. You know, done a bit. Let's go and do something else. But it was at that moment I felt God saying, I'm going to bring blessing like you've never seen before.
That's great. Yeah.
And I'm like, okay. And what, you want me to tell people that? And honestly... I didn't tell anyone until a couple of weeks ago, because it was kind of, I just sort of put it there and kept leaving it, and it was just kind of thinking, well, if it's real, it'll, you know, let's see. Anyway, with the Go Again series.
Can I just park us there just for a minute? Because I'm conscious of time, and we're moving on quite quick, but you mentioned about going from here, what it means. We got here, and now we have to go from here. You know, it's almost like when the Israelites crossed the river, they then had to go and, you know, fight the way and establish themselves. And so we as a team, as a leadership team, we're praying and thinking about where we go from here in terms of the series, because Go Again isn't something that is like, okay, we've done that, right, let's move on, let's go and do something different. So actually this year we're focusing all of our teaching from now, and it includes the Go Again, but from now, in something called New Land Living. And so we're going to kind of bring subjects, tackle topics for you guys, for those listening on the podcast, you too, that deal with these things of how do I live from this point of going again. So I've made a decision to cross, I've made a decision to go again. I'm here, I'm in a new space, but what does it mean? How do I mature into that? What does fighting new battles look like? How do I do that? And I think from what you've just said, Dave, from there, I think that's really important that when we recognize what go again is, where God is saying, this is the same, but it's not the same. We're coming back to this place. We're coming back to what God said to us and who we are and who we're meant to be. And we're going again in the future. And it's just to build on that. So let me just pause it there and you can come back to it if you feel you want to. But I've just got one more thing to ask each of these guys. So start with Talia. Dave, I'll finish with you. So Talia, the second question is this to these guys, just in really a sentence. What is your prayer for the church moving forward? So we've done go again. We're here right now. So what is it that you're praying for our church community as we look ahead to the year?
Don't let the familiar, what you're good at, what like the bit where you're just like, I've got here now, I'm good. I've got here now, I'm good. Just carry on going even through the fear. The same, not the same says go in confidence. Yeah, that's right. So even when you've just got to a bit, just carry on going with faith. And carry on believing that God's going to bring you to a new place and carry on going in faith and not fear.
Great. Excellent, Sally. Yeah. Same question to you, Ish. What's your prayer?
My prayer would be, I guess, linked to where I am at the minute and some of the things I've been experiencing. The writer of 1 Peter, which is at the end of the Bible, encourages the reader to, he says it like this, crave pure spiritual milk. Now, I've got a 3-month-old, and let me tell you, I know when he's hungry, okay? And he's craving that mama milk. So it's something that's connected, it's something that's deep within each of us, whether you've come to faith or not. Is my prayer for our church is that we would crave something real. Yeah, not just a second-rate version of what God's got, but all the real stuff. And that doesn't mean locking yourself away in a holy huddle. It doesn't mean, you know, I've just got to wait on the Lord, as some people say. I'm not dissing that, but you know what I mean. I'm going to sit and do nothing, in other words, but to crave something real. The Message puts it like this. I was going to say a version of the Bible, but I'll probably get heckled for that. It's a translation.
An interpretation
of the Bible. It says, take your ordinary, everyday walking around and give it up as a sacrifice to God. That's my prayer, that I would do that and that we would do that.
That's great. Thanks. John, what's your prayer for?
I think my prayer would be that we'll learn to let go of the answer we've found so that we can pursue the answer that's been promised to us. For me, the way this has been characterized, and I'm in a bit of the season at the moment, is I go through seasons of my life where I feel like I've just about got control. I feel like I compartmentalize a lot of things, and for that reason, the way I live is often dominated by time. And it's always at that moment where I just about got control that God just throws complete curveball and I'm back into the chaos of it all. And I think and the way that he does that will change because he gets me in different ways because I've learned different things along the way. And it's like that thing of restarting. For example, I'm learning a lot about leading people at the moment, and that's an area that I thought I just about got control of until God revealed to me, you're trying to control people. Now, anyone who's been a leader or has been led by someone knows that controlling people is not the answer to leadership. And when God revealed that to me, it threw everything out of balance for me because I thought, God, I've got this nailed down. I've got this box here and this box here. And he said, I'm going to need you to unlearn that. And that's really frustrating for someone like me. But God always asked me to unlearn some stuff. And that's why go again for me is quite a hard thing to go again because it feels like backtracking, but actually it's not. It's God goes, you've done the circle to learn something. Yeah, right, so now you can cross that river.
Yeah, so I think for me, obviously, the prayer is to walk with Jesus, to put him first. But as a community of faith, I think it's time for us to rise to a new level of faith. I think there's a new thing that God's doing in this house, in this family, in this community. And we saw the first fruits of that. Yeah. For those who may not know, we have an offering at the start of every year, it was the end of January, called First Fruits. And I think you made the announcement last week, we were away on holiday, but and Dave mentioned to me before, feel free to say, the amount went up again last week.
Yeah, that's right.
So the offering was for £220,000 towards, which was a faith offering towards the mission of what we're trying to build together. It was faith with God, you know. And I believe that is that everything has changed because of that. That level is higher than those in leadership expected and planned for. And you know, I was thinking about this on holiday, and honestly, I had a picture of what was going on in heaven when that happened. And I believe that heaven's paused and turned to look. You know, I know that might sound a bit spiritual, but it's kind of what I saw, and God wants our faith to rise into a whole different level this year, and that means unique things for everyone. You know, specific things for you personally. You know, so for me, that is my prayer, and that's the prayer for the big picture for the church. You know, yeah. My prayer for me is that I know Jesus, and I'm able to do life with people, but, you know, personally, I'm able to have the incredible honor of introducing people to Jesus. I have the privilege of having friendships with people where we can grow together. Yeah. You know, the Bible talks about discipleship, where you're growing in knowing him together. And as you're helping people, you get helped and they help you. It's a two-way process. And you know, that's what my desire is for this year. You know, above, I could have a list of stuff I want for you know, in business or whatever, but those things will all come. You know, but it's about putting God first, really.
It is, and I don't know if you guys have really enjoyed hearing these guys speak, but I just think it's been so good just to hear their perspective and stories. And that's the key, isn't it? It's coming back to go again, coming back to Jesus, and we're going again.